So, well, I'm happy that we finally got the chance to sit down. It's taken us some time. And so it would be great to sort of have you speak about how you got involved with whole person care and, how you ended up doing what you do right now.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let me kind of think back. My involvement goes back, at least some of what I remember is being involved in a faculty working group that was looking at the curriculum, the medical school curriculum, and developing the role of healing in the medical school curriculum. I think I was invited by Dr. Balfour Mount to join that group, and it involved many people from many disciplines to look at the role of healing in the medical mandate. And I think from that developed some very early outlines and changes in the curriculum that brought healing to the forefront, you know, recognizing it historically and taking, you know, much of what was often at times implicit and making it more explicit. And I think from that I became, a regular attendee at some of the seminars in whole person care, and then some few years back, I was asked to take on the role of chairing a course in third year medicine that was primarily focused on dealing with stressful clinical situations, and it was mostly simulation based teaching. And that really brought me formally into the group in whole person care, and things really expanded from there. We are now very much involved in the medical school curriculum, literally from day one throughout the entire 4 years of medical school, and that continues to evolve to this day.
So I'd like to explore this a little more in your book chapter that you wrote for Dr. Dobkin's Mindful Medical Practice. You elaborate on the fact that the transition from clinical or from teaching, from the classroom to clinical practice, can often be quite tough for students. Could you speak about how mindfulness might help with this transition, and also perhaps about the importance of the student supervisor leading by example?
Sure, absolutely. And I should just clarify that chapter was written by students. So that chapter is students' stories. And my role was simply to write a brief introduction and kind of frame work for the chapter. But that's all student work. And that speaks to your question. Those were student essays that were written in fourth year as an elective course on mindful medical practice. And most of those stories were, the students were instructed to write about experiences about a mindful clinical encounter or a less mindful clinical encounter. And there are examples of both of those. And what became clear for me was exactly how much a role the role models had, both positive and negative. So students were very much influenced by either other people they worked with, and that could be, very often it was attending staff, but it was often residents as well. And their experiences were very much shaped and influenced. So they could identify role models, positive role models, and they could identify the negative role models. You know, but one thing that became clear to me was that the positive experiences were very much, the positive role models almost created this positive feedback. It was almost infectious in nature, that that it was transmitted to the team. In many cases, students are working in teams, and if one member really kind of, displayed qualities in terms of attentive listening, and that really was a recurring theme, being present for the patient, that spilled over to other members of the team, you know, to other trainees, the nursing staff. So it kind of created this very positive spin and created a really rich experience for everybody involved. And earlier you were asked about, well, what happens in that clinical transition? And yes, I think I did mention that that's a very challenging point when students kind of move from the classroom to the clinic, to the hospital environment. And very much it's a jarring or it's a jolt, because there's often a disconnect in terms of what is discussed in the classroom and what is experienced in the clinical environment. And what we've tried to do is look at ways of how that transition could be perhaps a little less jarring, and to make the themes that we introduce early in the curriculum in the first year something that we revisit and consolidate over time. So for example, we are fortunate to be at the very first day of medical school part of the introductory presentations on professionalism and healing, and talk about that with students. And we very much recognize, we deal with the students in many different settings as a whole class and small groups, but we're able to engage students in discussions. You know, it's a large group, close to 200 students, about what it means to be a physician and to talk about their emerging roles and identities as physicians in training. And we find that, you know, we're not bringing anything, I think, out of the ordinary to students. We find that this really fits with what brought them to medical school in the first place. And what we're looking at is how do we continue to nurture that and help maintain that throughout their training. Because we do know that at the transition point, which is usually in third year when students get into the clinical environment, a lot of those ideals, so to speak, perhaps are not as well reinforced. And it comes down to a lot of overwhelming tasks, management issues, a lot of time pressure about getting things done. And what's rewarded is usually, you know, getting the work done, and maybe not necessarily spending the time with patients or interacting with patients more deeply. So by discussing this from literally the first day and revisiting it throughout, you know, the curriculum in different ways, we kind of hope that this will be something that will just be nurtured and maintained and continued throughout training and throughout careers, even after training. Mm. So we do that in first year. I just came literally now from a session with the first year class. It's the end of their cardiology block. And so they've been inundated with information about coronary anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, diagnostic testing. And what we did today was focus on cardiology from the patient's perspective. So we gave some clinical cases, and the example that I introduced the session was to read two stories about a man's experience of having a heart attack. And the first story describes the patient presenting to the ER, being promptly diagnosed and treated and discharged, and it's a resounding success story. The second story, the patient presents with similar symptoms, he's not clear what's going on, people are not introducing themselves, only like 2 days later does he realize that he's had a heart attack, and it's a terrible experience, and he files a formal complaint against the hospital. Turns out it's the same story, all right? And so it's the same story told from two different perspectives. The first perspective is from the treating team, who are going through their checklist and are actually doing a great job in terms of prompt diagnosis and treatment. The second story is done from the patient's perspective, in which despite that all the right things are being done, they weren't being communicated to the patient in a way that would alleviate his fears and concerns about what was going on. So, and this is recurring. We see this all the time in clinical medicine. Our perspectives can be dramatically different, and even at different ends of the spectrum about what's been accomplished. So, this was an example to look at that, to talk about the patient's perspective, what's important to us as clinicians. what's important to patients who are experiencing health issues, and to look for that common ground that can sometimes be overlooked. And we actually had a guest, a patient join us to talk about their own experience today and what it was like and what were the difficulties, what were the things that they found helpful. And I think that really resonated with the students. This is something that it's not just from the textbook or from the slides. This is the real world. This is what happens. So putting things in the proper context, I think early on in training medical students and revisiting that throughout training, I think may make that transition into the clinical environment perhaps a little less difficult.
Very interesting. Do you also think that this is one of the most potent ways to change the medical culture overall?
Yeah, I think that, you know, consistent messages are important. So we do these sessions in first year. In second year, there is a course on mindful medical practice that really focuses, you know, on you know, each session has a theme. There are small groups of 20, but that really brings into skills. Students are introduced to concepts such as awareness and communication skills and what does mindfulness mean in terms of clinical applications. They are introduced to meditation and meditation practice and how that can be helpful in terms of being present for your patient and to yourself and to colleagues. And again, you know, later on in third year, we do sessions in the simulation center where with trained actors, we recreate stressful clinical situations that could be with a patient or patient's family or with a supervisor, and then bring back these same concepts in debriefing sessions. These sessions are wonderful. They're 5 minutes. They can be quite intense in terms of the emotions that are brought about. Each student goes into a scenario with trained actors while two of their colleagues observe with a faculty member, and then after that's done, the three students and the supervising faculty discuss in a short debrief. And, you know, they do three scenarios. Each student has a chance to do one. And then the entire group discusses it afterward and shares the experience. So it's, again, an opportunity in a safe setting of the simulation center to put yourself in a difficult clinical situation and then to be able to reflect on it and say, okay, what happened? What were my initial reactions? And how could I respond to a situation instead of immediately reacting in terms of dealing with stressful clinical situations? So it's an opportunity to actually practice this and then to share the experience and, again, to reflect upon it.
So do you already feel a change going to
Yeah,
to
I think so. And I think, you know, you asked earlier, is this the best way, you know, to do this? I think we're continuously asking ourselves that question. I think what I've seen, because now this has been going on for some years, I do see it coming through. Because I see these students again, the students I see in the first year, I'll see them, you know, in second, third year, I'll see them on the ward, I'll see them in the coronary care unit where I work, and I'll see them... many of them during their residency training now. So it's come to that. So I have kind of, been able to have a bit more of a longitudinal view of this. And I have seen, I think, a change in attitude. But certainly that's not enough. I think one of the things, you know, that students tell us is that, you know, we can talk about this, we can discuss it. But if once they're in a clinical environment, if that's not reinforced and... you know, then it's not likely to be sustained. So that means, I think, you know, with time, yes, as these students become residents and faculty, there will be, I think, a change. But we have to look at this not only at a medical school level, but at all levels in terms of our colleagues, our faculty, all healthcare professionals. And I think that's happening too. There's much more emphasis now, certainly at McGill, and looking at these issues, relationship-centered care, not only between physicians and patients, but between physicians and colleagues and other healthcare workers, in terms of creating you know, the environment that continues to nurture these qualities. Mm.